In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Just talking to our waitress, Mike. She was trying to...
Aubrey's an amazing server.
She is. She was trying to convince me about the cocktails that they have on the menu because I had questions about some of these. By the way, the Taco Mac cocktail menu, pretty incredible.
They've got everything you want.
Obviously, their beer wall, which carries our beer. But she was talking about a couple of drinks on the cocktail menu. So I was having that conversation with her after she brought me a drink with an umbrella in it.
Yeah, so Carl, this drink comes out. It's bluish purple. And there's like a gold foil little miniature umbrella.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And we were joking around. Remember the Saturday Night Live skit with Chris Farley and Adam Sandler and their house sitting? And so it's basically they play Beautiful Girls by Van Halen, and it's all dudes in Speedos. And the commercial was called Schmidt's Gay.
Gay, yeah.
So yep. I was like, I joked around when that drink came. I go, can I get a bucket of Schmidt's Gay? The best part, though, we were down in Beau Rivage in Biloxi. You know Kevin McDonough,
yes.
Our boy. And we're all hanging out down there. We had a cabana at the hotel. And so the server, typical Southern Mississippi, God bless her, sweet little heart. And she goes, what can I get y'all? I go, let's do a bottle of Absolut, do the table service.
Yeah.
I go, get a bucket of Schmidt's Gay. Anyway, she comes back. She's got the Absolut. She goes, I talked to my manager. We ain't got no Schmidt's Gay.
She didn't know. She had
I go,
no idea.
Honey, it's a joke, dear. I'm messing with you. But no, but the whole bar did go bananas, but you did drink it like a man.
I did, man. I had no idea. It was basically like a...
Like a blue motorcycle?
A gin fizz or something like that.
Like a slow gin fizz, but with purple.
And, yeah, and she... So the bartender, they brought it out, and I was like, oh, I didn't know. And you know, I'll be honest with you guys. Like, I'm completely secure in my manhood, but there's nothing like having a gold umbrella delivered
a gold foil mini umbrella
with the drink on it. And, you know, you're trying to look tough with it, and you're like, well, do I take the umbrella out or?
I mean, you and I have been to Trader Vic's a million. I've never seen that presentation at Trader Vic's, if I'm honest.
So, either way, drink was good. We were talking to Aubrey about that, and that's what I was doing here as we start the top of the hour. Hey, coming up, we've got some guy talk on the way. Also, we're going to talk about who is the best player on this Falcons team. Seriously, if you had to pick one. Okay, don't tell me Kirk Cousins because Kirk Cousins has yet to throw a pass for us. I get it. He's important. But who's the best player on this team? And some publications,
pound for pound.
Some publications are saying it may be one of our offensive linemen. We're going to get to all of that and much more. You guys can hit us up. Find Mike on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. We're going to get back into our Braves conversation as well. We had a really interesting conversation with Brett Boone from Odyssey, our MLB insider, and Grant's going to join us as this series continues with the Giants.
But Brett's saying don't give up the faith yet.
Yeah, don't
keep
panic.
The faith and just hope that Alex can pull off another miracle.
Don't panic. I'm not panicking. I just don't like the way things are going.
It just seems like...
That's all.
But I will say this. We were more in the weeds in 21 when we lost to Cunha than we are now. I mean, we're still the number one spot in the wild card.
Sure.
Like, I get it. Because of nothing... This isn't a critique of John Schirrholz, but the division doesn't mean Jack... If you don't win the World Series, I always joke around about the Billy Bean quote. If you don't win the last game of the year, no one gives a. So I don't care about winning the division. Let's just be the hot team because we've seen the Diamondbacks do it. The Marlins have done it twice in this division. The Mets won it once went to the World Series as a wild card. And the Braves, yes, we'd love to win the division and stick it to Philly. But let's see if Philly, how they handle the break in the action. Because right now they're living a charmed life. They're still, 7-3 in the last 10 games without Schwarber and Bryce Harper right now. We thought that would slow them down. We're going to see these guys later this week.
Part of that division and winning it is having home field advantage, right?
Right.
That's part of it. You know that you're going to have it. And if you have to play a deciding game, you're going to get to do it at your home stadium.
We've been historically a good road team in the postseason.
Yeah.
This year, I think we're two games under 500. But a lot of that because, let's be honest, May just wrecked us.
Oh, it was a terrible May. All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
So when one quarterback in college football says everything about us says that everybody's biggest game this year is about us, I'm talking about Quinn Ewers. He is the quarterback at Texas. That's where Georgia has to go. To Texas this year. Quinn Ewers will be a Heisman candidate, but so will Carson Beck. And Quinn Ewers says that Texas is going to be everybody's biggest game this year. Mike, I will say this. Coming into the SEC, I don't think that Georgia or anybody else that's going to play, whether it's Texas or Oklahoma, is out to prove anything more than just winning the football game. I don't think Georgia has to prove after being back-to-back national champions that, oh, here comes Texas and we need to beat Texas. I don't think they're seeing it that way. But I think Quinn Ewers and the Longhorns are like, we're coming into this conference and they do have something to prove. They want to prove that whatever everybody was saying about them being in the Big 12, they can be an SEC quality opponent. We're going to find out early on. Ewers, by the way, we said this. Listen, Mike, they're loaded. That game that's going to happen early in the season in Austin, hard to get tickets. Mike and I were talking about this because, one, F1 is in town the same weekend that the Georgia and Texas game is going on. So it's not about tickets to the game. I told you guys this months ago. It's about where you're staying. And that is the issue. You might be staying, you know, 2-3 hours away if you're going to go to that game if you haven't already secured a room. So it's going to be a great game. But yours is saying it's definitely a different level, talking about the SEC. I've always wanted to play in the SEC. I know we're all excited to be a part of the conference. But he says football definitely means more in that conference. And this is him talking about coming in. The first official day, by the way, was July 1st. So Oklahoma and Texas are now official members of the SEC.
Matter of fact, the Oklahoman, a big article today about Joe Castiglione, the AD there. And, of course, Venables, the coach, former Clemson, who's got a connection to Oklahoma. Pretty interesting. This is what the athletic director, the chancellor, had to say. Two conclusions they reached in Oklahoma, Carl, that governed our decision. The University of Oklahoma must be in a place to win championships in all sports. Feeling that somehow in the Big 12 they're getting a little marginalized. He goes, second is we want to remain among the handful of athletic departments in the country that weren't subsidized. Meaning the SEC. Is the Walmart, is the economy size.
They're making money, no doubt. Yours said, Mike, the goal is for them to win the SEC championship. We want to accomplish that. We think we have a team that can do that. I don't disagree, but it gets back to handling this kind of schedule.
But does Georgia have a lights out? See, that's the – I know we keep coming back to this. We talked about it with Connor Riley on Monday. Because we've had Jalen Carter and we've had all these big studs in the middle. Does Georgia have the defense that can go into Texas and knock their lights out? I don't know. To me, I think, wasn't it yesterday you and I said we're going to be living in the 40s, as in Georgia's going to be in these dial-a scores that every college game seems to be these days?
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't, until I see, you know, Smile Munden and the other guys and the next interior lineman step up, to me it's like who is going to be that alpha male on Georgia that defense is going to be that good? Because that's what separated them from the other teams the year they won the championships under Kirby.
It really did. Listen, Georgia is still the best team in the SEC. Right. That is how I feel going into the season. Even if they happen to lose on the road to Texas, Mike, I still don't think it's going to hurt Georgia.
No, look, you could even lose
as much as we think it might.
Right. You could even lose two games, which I know nobody wants to hear as a Georgia fan. Now, if you lose the SEC championship and that's two losses, you're still in this. It's just you may be on the road. But again, if Georgia goes to Penn State, who's scared? I'm not scared of Penn State.
No.
I mean, if you go to Oregon, are you nervous?
Only because of the travel and the distance, that might play a role, and the weather. Yeah, I mean, that's when you start
colder, drizzly. Yes. I mean,
those kinds of things could come to play.
But again, we still don't know. This might be a year where everybody's got three losses. This might be a year where Georgia, with two losses, hosts a game at Sanford Stadium in the playoff. We don't know.
Georgia, I think Texas arguably is the second best team in the SEC. Alabama's right there. Ole Miss.
Their offensive line, we talked about yesterday, could be their calling card this year. And if, again, what does Jalen Milroe do in this offense? I know that we know what Carson Beck's going to be. Carson Beck yesterday says he took a line from Kirby. We talked about it. We're not the hunted, we're the hunters.
That's right. I will tell you guys this, though. Do not sleep on Missouri. They're a good football team this year. I know it's Missouri.
They got wide receivers.
I'm just telling you.
By the way, very quietly, they put wide receivers and edge rushers in the NFL,
they do.
Almost every year.
But I'm just saying, if you are like, Mizzou, that would be the team, Mike, that you on any particular Saturday, if you're sleeping, watch them be a 10 or 12 or 11 win team.
Well, we certainly slept on them the last couple of years of Mark Richt when they won the division twice.
That's true. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game talking about the Dogs. The Quinn Ewers conversation, by the way, I don't think it's bulletin board material for Kirby.
No.
I just think it's yours saying, look, we're excited to be in the conference, and we want to prove to everybody that we belong. You know how you do that? You beat Georgia early
on. You were true. I mean, I'm trying to insult you as a Texas alum, but you were truly relevant when it mattered for the first time since Vince Young.
Correct.
And that,
correct.
And now you've got to, because you've got so many guys returning, and by the way, Arch Manning's waiting in the wings, but it's yours team, you're loaded. You know, what's the running back room look like for Texas this
year?
It's
great. I mean, listen, I said this. The kid that Carolina Panthers just picked up, sat on the bench behind Bijan, he could have easily been a starter, a three-year starter anywhere else, Mike. The running back room is strong. It's not even that. I think people don't realize how stout Texas is up front. And when they play the Dogs, they will be tested. And this is what we're talking about with the D-line for the Dogs. But that's the part about this that I don't think people realize as to why they're having success. Sark came in and he said, look, I was at Alabama. I've been in the SEC. We're about to go there. I'm making sure that we have the necessary players up front. And that's what he's done. He stockpiled guys up front, and they have a really good defensive line and certainly offensive line, which is why yours is a front runner to win the Heisman Trophy. But as I said, Carson Beck could be right there, which is why that game's going to be so interesting.
Right. I just know that going to Alabama, going to Texas, you know, I mean, we're acting like Clemson's just going to roll over for Georgia. Because
Mike, didn't you tell me they're a 3-touchdown favorite, though?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a couple of games. It's the they're a 19-point favorite. Yeah, I was just looking at that just a minute ago.
I thought
ago.
It was 2 touchdowns against Clemson.
They're like, I want to say they're 13 or 14 against Clemson.
See, I think that's a lot to start the season because there's so many unknowns, right?
Right.
But then when I look at it and I go, I still think Georgia has more depth. I think Clemson is going to be good. They'll be better than they were last year. I know Dabo and company finished stronger at the end, but boy, that's a lot to start the season to tell me that they're going to roll Clemson at Mercedes-Benz by potentially 2 or 3 touchdowns. Then you're telling me Georgia is way better than what we thought they were.
All right, I'm trying to find it real quick. God dang it.
You just said it the other day. I remember.
Know. Computer's slow. I'm looking. This is their overall to win the championship. We're not talking about that. We want the numbers. But they're favorites in every game. They're even favorites against Texas.
Yes, on the
blew
road.
Me away. I think they were +2 or -2.
All right, guys. It's Dukes and Bell coming up. Who is the best Falcon?
By the way, I looked up Georgia prediction. I got Spain versus Georgia. As in Georgia, the nation that sits on the Black Sea. No, I'm looking for Georgia in the SEC.
All right. We're going to talk about it because CBS says it is an offensive lineman. Do you believe that to be true? It's Dukes and Bell.
Game.
Coming up, some guy talk is on the way this hour, which is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It's Dukes and Bell live at Taco Mac. Woodstock, guys, is where we're hanging out. Listen, this is kind of a subjective question because we haven't had the kind of production from our stars across the board that you could definitively say, this guy's the best player. I think we all, you know, want to say easily it's Grady when healthy. He's probably our best player.
Right.
But given the fact that he wasn't last year, CBS came out and said that not only is Chris Lindstrom the best guard in the NFL, which I have no problems with, but he's the Falcons' best player, Mike. And I'm going, whoa, 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 wait a minute. But then when you start talking about each and every guy, and let's do this just for an exercise, okay? I don't want to include Kirk Cousins because he's yet to throw a pass for us.
No, he's not a Falcon yet.
I can't.
I mean, he is.
Correct.
Played a moment in the season.
I can't judge him on what he's done. But the guys that are here, whether it's Bijan, Drake, whether it's Kyle Pitts, are you willing to tell me those guys are not considered to be the best Falcons or one of the best players, you know, or the best player on the team? Jake Matthews, all these guys, Lindstrom, Drew Dalman. Hell, Mike Bergeron last year.
Hey, we never mentioned Bergeron. We talked about this yesterday. He was, like, dialed in next to Jake Matthews. The idea that, again, understand this, guys. It's the slowest time of the year for football. All writers have to do is nothing but their editor or whoever their podmaster is.
Give me a list. People love lists. Give me a breakdown.
So you get all these lists, and they're as you said, they're totally subjective. To me, the best player on the Falcons last year was Bijan Robinson.
Yes. Yes.
Most talented.
1,400 yards from scrimmage.
Right.
I think, again.
And not even used properly.
Correct.
If we're honest about it.
Or not used enough.
Not utilized enough.
I would agree with that. Defensively, you know, Caden Ellis played. I mean, Troy Anderson was hurt, right?
Yeah. Nate Landman actually might be one of our better defense. No, Jesse Bates.
Jesse Bates.
Sorry.
Jesse Bates.
I'm working from front to back in
it's
my
fine.
Mind. I'm going D-line, linebacker. Jesse Bates was our best player.
Okay.
Jesse Bates was our hands-down best player. He won you games. Now, Lindstrom wins games by doing the work. You guys, come on, eat a sandwich for crying out loud. These are the most fit people in Woodstock. Look at that woman's, it's a six-pack. You can bounce a quarter on her tummy. Come on, put a shirt on, dude. You're making us look bad. Anyway, these guys are here every time we're up here at Taco Mac in Woodstock.
You do notice that, right?
Yes.
Have they left yet?
No, they're going out there.
Okay, they're leaving now. Let's talk about it.
I love yoga pants. I freaking
you,
love guys, yoga pants. Yoga pants.
Every time we're up here, that couple comes in, and they literally are in workout gear. And I'm like, do you have to come in like that?
But I love the fact that they work out.
Do you have to come in looking like that?
But then they come in, they slug some vodka. That's hardcore.
Oh, no, I get it. But, like, you know, it's one of those things. Honey, where are we going for lunch? Taco Mac, make sure you wear the tights. I mean, come on.
Give me 1,700 more sit-ups, and then we'll go get some wings.
I'm like, every single time they're in here, they look great. You're right, Mike. All right, where were we?
No, I'm just, like, my wife, when I get home, why did you mention that? Well, when somebody in neon pink, like, skin-tight yoga pants.
And why did she pick that color, by the way?
Bra walks by, it's going to distract me from what our conversation about the Falcons. Anyway, getting back to
did that to it, color scream, I'm here?
It did.
Okay.
But it's Wednesday. It feels like a Friday. I give up. Yoga pants, the best. Awesome. Now, Bijan Robinson, for me, is the best offensive player, but because the offensive line is so hard to break down, but I will say this, I think that Nate, you know, Landman did a hell of a job.
He did.
I thought that at times, you know, it was hard. Caden Ellis, I'm not saying disappointment. I just thought there'd be more there. Remember, you and I, we handicapped him to be our sack leader last year. Calais Campbell's gone, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Bud Dupree were probably our two of our better defensive players. But Jesse Bates probably won you three or four games, right?
Hands down.
Right.
And here's the thing. This is what we're talking about. This is Dukes and Bell. CBS says, listen, Lindstrom should have been a first-team all-pro guy last year. I don't debate that. And again, most of you don't watch Lindstrom play in and play out. We don't necessarily know every play what his responsibilities are. But when you talk to coaches and guys that face him around the league, they're like, this dude can play. And he's a difference maker.
He's the guy we always knew. But you know what? Maybe we take it for granted because as a top 14th pick from Boston College, you just knew he was going to plug in, Carl, and be a decade at least, right? Stud.
He's arguably the best run-blocking guard in football, okay? Which is another reason why the run game has been so successful. Listen, every team has guys they run the ball behind, all right? And, you know, for the 49ers, as much as we talk about Christian McCaffrey, he's got Trent Williams as his left tackle.
Best offensive, one of the top 10 players in
the league.
Right.
I'm running the ball behind him. So when we talk about Lindstrom, I'm not taking anything away from him and what he did. 16 games for the Falcons, he allowed 3 sacks last year. 11 pressures, and he blocked 578 times pass-blocking snaps. That's an incredible number to give up just 3 sacks. So he is really good. But if you were to tell me, and again, Mike, I think we get caught up in position players and, you know, guys that score touchdowns, who's the best player? I'm kind of with you on this. I think Jesse Bates last year, hands down, was probably our best player.
Right. Now, this year, I'd love to be able to come back here at this time next summer. Hopefully we go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we say that Drake London or Kyle Pitts was our best player, and they validate those picks. This is something you and I were talking about, you know, yesterday with our buddy from Philly. We're talking to everybody who's on our schedule today. It was Pittsburgh. That's going to be a real physical challenge in week one. But we're going to run the football. Bijan, you know what? We never mentioned Tyler Allgeier. Tyler Allgeier, I think, still has a role to play in Zach Robinson's offense.
I do, too.
And I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to – look, Bijan is the more dynamic, and he can break tackles. He had more guys, you know, faked out of their jock strap than we haven't seen since Allen Iverson, right? but I still think that Allgeier's got a role to play in this offense.
Tyler Allgeier is still one of the best short yardage backs. Or obviously, he doesn't have the breakaway speed that you know, Bijan has. But, Mike, when you need tough yards or you need, you know, I feel like just to get a first down or move the football, I'm still handing the ball to Tyler Allgeier. There's not only a role for him. I think there's enough carries for him in this backfield with the way you're going to use Bijan, especially in a Zach Robinson offense, that he's going to get adequate touches, man. I'm not worried about the volume of touches. He's still going to get plenty of carries. And I think that's part of looking at how this backfield is going to operate. And it helps take pressure off of Bijan. Listen, nobody's asking him to carry the ball or have 35 touches a game. But if you're telling me that we don't at least attempt 18 to 20 touches in a game for Bijan Robinson,
right.
Something's wrong. And I'm not just talking about handing the ball off to him, guys, whether that's a quick screen,
right.
Quick hitter, however it is. You got to get this. He's dynamic.
All I would say to Zach Robinson is, do you see that touchdown against New Orleans? That's the kind of stuff that, you know, Dalvin Cook did, Thurman Thomas did, Roger Craig did. You know, we talk about the wheel route. I mean, whatever you want to call it, the running back releasing out of the backfield. I mean, you got a guy who's a tremendous pass catcher. Yep. And I think I say it every time we get into Bijan Mustardson talk about what this guy is going to be. But, yeah, man. And then getting back to Pitts. Look, whatever Darnell Mooney – I said Darnell Mooney.
What's up, Darnell?
Thank you. Whatever Darnell Mooney does as a burner is great, you know, and Ray and everybody else. But let's not make it overcomplicated, Zach. Let's have our own Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, and they're supposed to be.
Yes.
I would like to think. Now,
Drake and Pitts?
Still waiting to see how Pitts, but are they going to ask Pitts to block? Or are they going to ask Pitts to be Tony Gonzalez?
Well,
that's what I'm curious
about.
Well,
wait a minute. Are you just going to bring him off the field every time you want to do something?
No. Look, as a tight end, if you're going to play tight end by definition, you got to be able to pass block. Was he so ineffective last year because of the knee injury not being 100%?
I think so.
Because remember, how many times, let's be honest with the audience, both on the air and off the air, Arthur would lament a play didn't work because Kyle Pitts didn't do his job.
Yeah.
If we're honest, some of that was on the air, some wasn't, but it was. We chalked it up to the injury.
I think so. Everything that everybody keeps saying this year, at least heading into training camp, is that sky's the limit for Kyle Pitts. And I do believe that, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But you guys know I've been tough on him, and I will continue to be, because I just cannot allow the fourth overall pick in a year where we needed a quarterback, not his fault, we didn't go that route.
Right.
And you decide to go with a guy that you felt like you could use all over the field, and he's had basically one successful season. Okay. I got to see more, and I just expect big things from him. But everybody I'm hearing Mike talking to, they're like, look, dude's healthy, sky's the limit. I'm not telling he's going to have four touchdowns in week one, but you got to start affecting winning. Mike, that's moving the chains, that's
right.
Making big catches, that's affecting winning when you need a play. Kyle Pitts has to become that guy.
Yesterday, Chris Turtle Thomas, our producer, had that the over-under for Kirk Cousins, passing yards, touchdowns, interceptions. 30 touchdowns, 10 picks, 4,500 yards.
I'm with it.
That's his career.
I'm with it.
That's it. Now, again, we'll get to the
Not
playoffs.
Not with it. With it.
Thank you. Down with it.
With it.
And we'll keep it 100.
Yes. I'm not, but I am. I mean, if you're telling me those are the numbers, I'm all for it.
I'm with you.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. You know, the question about who's the best Falcon, it is subjective. But I will say this. If we're really going to be a special team, this offensive line has to be special.
Right.
And I'm not going to sit here and discount Chris Lindstrom and how important he is to this O-line and what they're doing, especially if, Mike, we have one of the most effective running games. You know, Kyren Williams is the guy that Zach Robinson had in L.A., okay? Most of you, unless you played fantasy, you may or may not be familiar with him. Kid was tremendous last year, and nobody really had him doing what he did.
No.
And I'm just saying that to tell you, Bijan, to me, is more talented.
Correct.
He's a more talented running back.
You saw it at Texas. You saw it. I mean, again, you saw it at times. Remember the Tampa game was the weird thing where did he hit the wall?
One he missed?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or no, he played a play.
It was the headache.
Yeah.
And the NFL was monkeying around because they thought we were monkeying around with the injury report.
That's right.
I don't know. But that's a blip on our radar. Bijan is one of our top guys. Top three players on this team would be Lindstrom, Jesse Bates,
yes,
Bijan,
and
hopefully Drake and Pitts.
All right, man. We got plenty more to get to. Joe Patrick's going to join us at 5 o'clock. Also, we'll talk about our Braves as they continue their series against the Giants. Tough loss last night. Grant McCauley will stop by here in the 5 o'clock hour as well. But coming up next, Mike, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. So my neighbor has got a garage full of fireworks.
Uh-oh.
We've got enough fireworks to seriously, we could go invade like Mexico tomorrow and take it over. I mean, we're going to reenact the Battle of Fort McHenry, apparently, in my backyard. The rocket's red glare. We'll tell you some basic fireworks safety. Because as a restaurant in Texas says, Carl, and I know you're familiar with it down in Austin, because they're famous for putting up some really funny billboard messages.
Yes.
As we get ready for the 4th of July, remember, kids, you stay away from the fireworks. Let the adults who've been drinking all day handle the fireworks. It's coming up next in Dukes and Bell.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans. Yes! Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the play is play. Where the play is play. Hey, guys, grab your Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale, the original blonde ale, and their watermelon lime. The fruit cuts the hop if you find the hop too hoppy. Either way, we got you covered with some great taste and brew. And if your local store doesn't have it, ask them to get it, man. Tell the guy in charge, whether it's Publix or a package store, go get that Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale from our friends at Georgia Crown. Got a couple of the Georgia Crown reps out here today hanging out with us, by the way.
Yeah, man.
Hey Man Ale on tap.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, man. So fireworks, we've been talking a lot about it. It's the 4th of July. I mean, as a kid, we loved doing stuff, which I look back now at, Carl, as we talked about earlier.
You were
like
crazy.
Like shooting bottle rockets at each other, basically from point-blank range. Now we'd be like and just shoot you in the chest.
Crazy.
It's amazing. We survived. I'm not wearing an eye patch now. But so how crazy are you going to go, or are your neighbors? Who's going to facilitate the fireworks where you live over in Compton?
Oh, no, listen. It's first of all these areas, they have shows, most of them, I would say. So depending on where you live. But, yeah, all the local neighborhood areas where we live, guys just go, they go all out, and it just depends on what street. Usually everybody conjugates to a certain area,
right,
a cul-de-sac, and you know, the parents and the people, we all set up chairs, and it goes crazy. But I also think, Mike, it's crazy because as your kids get older, you don't do as much of that. And that's what's interesting is, as we had young kids, when Trent was young, man, it was so crazy. People were, right, like, it was incredible. And now we kind of, you know, we're past that stage, but we still see our neighbors and we still hang out. But I don't know if we're going to go as crazy as we did 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Right. Carl told the story about how you'd bring, like, one box in and your neighbor brings two boxes in.
Yeah.
Well, and you bring another box and he brings an entire pickup truck, you know, full of stuff.
I had a neighbor. His name was Kyle. And literally,
everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything. Because you'd be like, you getting fireworks? And he'd be like, yeah, I'm going to get some, dude. Were you getting some? I was like, yeah, I'm getting some. What are you getting? What are you getting? And it was a contest. You know, and literally, like, I'd show him, well, this is what I picked up today. And I thought I was doing something. He looks around, and he's looking at the box. He's like, okay, I'll see you tonight. And he'd go get a box. And this is leading up to, like, this was days leading up to 4th of July. By the time we got to 4th of July, Mike, you would have thought he was putting a show on at the Statue of Liberty. I mean, he had a truck bed full of fireworks, and his whole thing was just, I got more than you. And I'm like, yes, you do.
Is it really like that in Texas?
No, it is.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
No, I mean, as a kid.
And by the way, the show doesn't end. Like, you know how, and I said this, I think I told Jersey Mike. Here's the other thing. Be mindful of your neighbors. Like, you shouldn't be shooting fireworks off at 2 a.m.
Yes.
I mean, okay? Be mindful of your neighbors.
Most of us feel midnight is the time, although some will go a little bit later. But the Georgia Office of Insurance and Safety Fire Commissioner reminds you, we haven't not had much rain.
It's true.
Now, I know up here a little bit more. Where I live in Coweta and Fayette County, we haven't had any rain. Like,
it's dry.
Like
it's bone dry.
Bone dry. So what they're saying is, not only get the hose out, is basically saturate tree limbs, pine straw.
Roof?
Your roof. And so, well,
I'm just telling you.
Well, again, unless the guy shooting the fireworks is completely hammered, which he may or may not be, but they want to go straight up, not sideways. But they're basically saying is, if you're going to be shooting fireworks, have about 100 square feet or a circumference around the fireworks where the ground is damp.
Okay.
If you got pine straw, you got, you know, brush, either way. And I got to be honest with you, it's bone dry the last month and a half.
This stuff will catch on fire, man.
So be careful out there. The other thing they say is, if you get a dud,
leave it.
Remember that noise?
Leave it.
They say not just leave it, have buckets of water around. Again, get to the hose and put some water on that thing immediately, because at some points the fuse refires and you walk over, oh, where's the dud?
Boom.
Pow. So that they're saying, again, don't look at me. Look at the Georgia Office of Insurance and Safety Fire Commissioner. They're saying that basically if you get a dud, douse it with water. And then once you get done with that, take either whatever you got, an implement like a garden hoe or something, chop it up, and then so there's no heat in that sucker.
Okay.
Make sure.
Okay.
I know that sounds like, remember the old Phil Hartman skit on Saturday Night Live?
He was so funny.
The anal retentive chef. He did this skit where he goes, oh, look at that. He goes, there's some waste. Well, let's put that in a paper bag. Well, you know what? Let's staple that back. Well, those staples look awkward. Let's put some tape over those staples. So that's like the anal retention fireworks display. So anyway, the point being, be careful, because remember, guys, wherever you buy it from, it's made in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And the quality control, if we're honest, is not exactly state of the art. Somebody making 10 cents an hour to make sure to, I'm not sure every fuse is the same length, and the density of the powder or whatever the explosive substance is has been packed the same way. I'm just saying, call me crazy, Carl. Quality control in the third world isn't what it used to be.
No. I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
Although, yes, being in Hong Kong, technically, it came from China.
Yeah.
Anyway, be careful out there. All right, man, moving on. My neighbor, Mike Maeda, and I'm sorry, I put his name out there twice. You know, if he loses a finger, I guess he'll get a pension from Delta. No, I was working on a 737 when my thumb came off. Either way, be careful. Don't be Jason Pierre-Paul,
yeah,
which is the ultimate cautionary tale.
It's not covered in the insurance, I'll tell you that.
No, three fingers, too many on a glove.
Yeah.
Two fingers, too many.
Those long fuses, I like the long fuses. I like to light and go. Go. Light and leave.
All right, so I think we've covered fireworks and fireworks safety. Be careful out there. All right, man.
You're not lighting anything?
I don't touch a damn thing.
I haven't touched a thing in a minute. I don't either.
When I was a kid, my Nana, I told you the story, she lived, all the cops and firemen in New York on a pension, all retired to the west coast of Florida, a little town called Newport Richey, Florida,
yeah,
which now it's called Newport Methy.
Been there many times, yeah, covering spring training.
So now it's a tiny little spot. But when I was a kid, whatever wasn't used, we would go out on a boat. I told you the story. How's this for a redneck name? My best friend in Newport Richey, Jimmy Finger and Parker Short.
Jimmy Finger.
Parker's dad went on to be the Pasco County Sheriff. Either way, we would take the M-80s, light them, and go fishing with them. And it's like a quarter stick of dynamite.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Pow!
Yeah.
And then the fish would float to the top and scoop them up. Easiest fishing we've ever done.
Yeah, we used to put those. Do not do this, by the way.
I'm not recommending this.
Do not do this. We used to put those in ant piles.
Oh, my God.
And blow up ant piles.
Kaboom.
With those M-80s. And then I had one friend who was a freak, and he probably has, like, been on some psycho documentary, but he would literally, like, catch a frog.
Oh, no, don't blow up the frog.
I'm telling you.
And now you're Beavis and Butthead.
And he'd be like, dude, I'm going to put this firework in this room. And we're like, don't do
it. Oh.
And so as kids, you do stupid things.
Right.
But do not. By the way, if you're listening, do those things.
Now, did you ever do an M-80 on the back of a G.I. Joe or an Evil Knievel?
Oh, yeah, it blows them up.
Yeah, I mean, we would do electrical tape. I mean, it's amazing we survived. All 10 fingers, yeah, all 10 toes.
And those M-80s were serious.
No joke. Yeah. It technically is. It's like a quarter stick of dynamite.
Yeah,
right? Or a tenth of a stick of dynamite.
Do they still have those?
An eighth of a stick
of
dynamite?
I have no idea, honestly.
Hey, real quick, Mike Bell, ATL, put him up, C-Dukes. How much powder is in an M-80 for guys who know? Because I know you guys know because you're listening to our show.
Do they even still sell those? Because I know people lost fingers with that.
Right, big boom. And I'm not sure how Jason Pierre-Paul lost two of his digits, but it would imagine some gunpowder and a pop would do that to you. All right, Carl, a good friend of ours, friend of the show,
yeah,
was asked, would you coach the U.S. men's national team? Alexi Lalas, they should be so lucky. You know what? I would write a check. I don't know about you. I'm not going to speak for you. I'd cut a sizable check.
For Alexi Lalas?
To U.S. men's national soccer to get Alexi Lalas in charge. Just to see somebody who's a guy's guy, who's not politically correct, who's not a snowflake.
He would be hard.
And run these guys. But he'd be an American. The way that you brought up Klinsmann the other day.
Yes.
Did it when he ticked off all the, you know, the country club snobs that run U.S. soccer.
I would listen, that's a non-traditional hire.
Right.
This is what we're talking about.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yes.
And then
Alexi
would surround himself with veteran coaches, probably Bruce Arena in or somebody.
Correct.
I love that idea. I mean, we need a shock to the system, I think, right?
Well, that's the thing. You're either going to stay the course and go with guys who have been a part of this process, or you're going to go outside of it, right? And by the way, all the guys that have been involved in this, right? You talk about this circle. Hasn't worked.
No.
It's time to go outside of that.
Look, guys, if you take
If in fact they're going to do anything with Berhalter.
No, but you brought this up yesterday. When Klinsmann was getting killed, he had guys that were See, the thing is, we have guys, they talk about this golden generation. None of these guys start. Yeah. Like Pulisic starts. Half the guys on our team are sitting on the bench in Europe. Yes, you've made it to Europe, but you're not starting. So, what's the point? We got to find some toughness. You and I spent a lot of time on this yesterday. Let's get some grit. Hey, final, before we wrap things up here on Guy Talk, we're live here, by the way, at Taco Mac in Woodstock. Still plenty of time. We'll be here till 6:30. Join the party, pal. Want to give a shout-out to Delta. When you were a kid, did you ever get a chance to go up to the cockpit, talk to the pilot?
No. You know, I thought the coolest thing as flying as a kid was getting the wings,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Used to get the wings. That was cool. But my daughter got a chance to do that when she was about 4 years old. And literally while we were flying, the pilot invited. This is again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you talk about 9/11 and all the stuff that happened, but he literally invited her to go up into the cockpit. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And he was like, parents, come up here and take a picture. So that's as close as I've gotten. As a kid, I never got to do that.
When I was a kid, it was Eastern Airlines. For those of you guys of a certain age, Eastern was the East Coast airline. And they were generally cheaper than Delta. And I'll never forget.
East Coast?
Eastern Airlines.
Eastern. Okay.
And my Nana, I'm flying down to Florida. Nana sprung for the big trip on Delta. First time I flew Delta from LaGuardia, I've told Carl this story. I'll make it brief because Carl shared this. You know when you're a kid how you remember smells? You know, we remember sights and sounds. But the smell of, like, mom's cooking or something. I'll never forget this. The day I'm 9 years old. I would take my Coleco pocket football, my Mad Magazine, my Sports Illustrated. My dad would give me one of his old briefcases. I'd wear a suit. Like Michael J. Fox. And I would look like a little businessman on my business trip.
You're going on a plane.
And I go to Delta. And the flight attendant comes over. Back then, we called them stewardesses. And I'll never forget it. She looked like Lonnie Anderson. Big rack. And she leans over. She goes, do you want to go see the pilot? And it was like the waft of the Chanel No. 5, the perfume.
This is a very vivid memory,
I'm
Mike.
Giving it to you.
Very vivid.
A beautiful blonde with big hair. Looked like an Alabama majorette, which she probably was.
Yeah.
And she goes, do you want to see the pilot? I'm like, okay. Got up. And remember when pilots were cool? Right. Like, catch me if you – they still are cool.
They are.
Most of these guys are aviators, either Air Force or Navy or some Marines. But the pilots were like in the movie Catch Me If You Can. Guy looked like Roger Race Bannon from Johnny Quest. Had like the gray on the side. Hey, little man, where are we going to down home? I'm going to see my grandma. It was get the wings, see the cockpit.
The wings, yeah.
My niece got to do that today at JFK.
Oh, very cool.
Thanks to Delta, because I know for me it's something I'm talking to you about.
It's
here
great.
I'm 55 years old.
No, man,
anyway,
it's great. It's
that's
great.
Guy Talk brought to you by Duke's Bell.
By the way, I wish every kid could experience
it. It's cool as hell.
Seriously.
It really is.
Like, there's one thing to just fly for the first time. But you want to make them comfortable as possible and, like, really enjoy the experience. I wish every kid could experience that.
Right on, man. Grab the brew, man. Have a safe and happy 4th of July. Water down your duds.
Hey, guys. Joe Patrick's going to join us. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Falcons and the Falcon Report. Also, we'll get back into the Braves, who lost last night. They'll get another shot today. Chris Sale on the hill. He is looking to not only make the All-Star game, Mike, he's making a case to be the All-Star starter.
Right. By the way, we asked the question. We got answers. Guy says today's M80s used to have 200 milligrams of gunpowder. Today's are 50 milligrams of gunpowder, much safer.
That's why. I'm telling you, those things.
So when I said a quarter stick of dynamite, I was off by 50.
Dude, when they went off, you were like, and I remember my mom's like, what is that? And I'm like, yeah, that they were loud and dangerous. All right, we're coming back. We're live at Taco Mac. Come on out and join us right here in Woodstock, right off of 92, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.